Thousands of us have been on speed awareness courses. Those courses can be a turning point for some, but clearly not for everyone. John Scrooby is a former traffic police officer. He's also involved with the organisation SCARD, Support and Care After Road Death and Injury. He joins me on the line now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, mate.
Thanks for your time today. So I suppose the first question is, how do we stop motorists speeding?
Well, increased police patrols would help. There's been a devastating cut in the number of traffic departments throughout the country. I know some now are revisiting that, and the government have made it a priority now for traffic policing.
So how often is speed a factor in a road traffic accident? Which, of course, I guess if there were more traffic police officers, we would catch more of those people. But is it often a factor?
It is. It's what we call the fatal four, one of the four major causes of major serious injury and fatalities on the road. It's right up there with drink driving, drug driving, inattention, mobile phone use. It's up there with them all.
Now, I know that you were not only a former traffic police officer, you're also involved with the organisation SCARD, which, let me just tell people again, is a group which supports and cares for people after road death and injury. What happens when speeding causes a really serious accident?
Well, any death is devastating for a family to cope with, but an injury or death on the road, it's unexpected, it's frequently violent and a traumatic event for anyone. At SCARD, we offer support in many, many different ways to those who've lost someone in their own death, those been injured, or even someone who witnessed a serious or fatal collision. We offer practical, emotional support with a helpline that's manned 365 days a year by people who've gone through that same trauma and the multiple emotions. We offer counselling to those who need it, an empathetic ear. Everyone involved in SCARD has been involved in some way with a road death. We offer support in legal affairs, issues including assisting inquests or court hearings, and signposting bereaved injured people to other relevant agencies. It's difficult enough having to deal with the loss of a loved one. They say that over 400 people affected by each event, to then discover that person was killed or injured by somebody breaking the law, by speeding, drinking, drug driving, inattention or distraction. It just increases that burden of grief.
What happens to a motorist who is convicted of causing death by dangerous driving?
The sentence, if I had just been increased, it was 14 years maximum. It's now the maximum is a life imprisonment for causing death or serious injury by as a, any of the fatal or by dangerous or inconsiderate driving.
7 years ago, I went on a speed awareness course. I was telling our listener a bit earlier. It was a bit of a turning point for me. I was told at the beginning of that course, the least serious effect of my speeding, and by the way, I can own up to doing 48 in a 40, not far from Tunbridge Wells. They told me the least serious effect of my speeding was attending that course. They also reminded me the most serious effect of me speeding again might be that somebody was killed as a result of my driving and I would end up in prison. Is that enough to deter most people from speeding?
It should be. It certainly should be. We've all got a duty to respect other road users. Well, all I would say is anybody, don't be the one who triggers that chain of events that leads to another tragedy. Speeding is, as I've already mentioned, is one of the fatal four. If people want to drive at speed or test and show the driving skills, the roads are not the place to be. Book a track day. I'll join one of the teams in competitions organised for racing. It's a controlled environment. My grandson is 16 years old. He can't drive on the road yet, but he's in his second season of racing the Focus Cup competition in various tracks around the UK. It needs to be done in a controlled environment, not on the roads.
We were hearing from a previous caller that speeding is a contributing factor in 25% of road deaths in this country. So what are the other participants in the so-called fatal four?
The fatal four, as I say, it's speeding, drink driving, drug driving, inattention and mobile phone use, and failing to wear a seatbelt. Those are the four main causes of death and injury.
Do you think the penalties we've got for the sort of less serious speeding offences, not the ones that end up causing injury or death, but do you think, you know, for people who are doing 40 in a 30, say, or 50 in a 30, are tough enough to deter those people from speeding again?
Probably not, to be quite honest. Like you, I too have been on a speed learners course. I was doing 36 in a 30. I mean, it's probably the hazards of driving, I suppose, one of the risks you take. But it's just so easy just to let that speed creep up or get followed, you know, get drawn along by other traffic, particularly the motorways.
I mean, we were hearing from a driver earlier on. I spoke to one on the phone, and he was telling me that he finds it very intimidating when he's tailgated, almost to a point where he is forced to drive more quickly than he would otherwise do. What would your advice be to him?
My advice to him will be to stick to the speed limit. If somebody wants to come past you, they're going to get the ticket, they're going to get the fine, they're going to be the one that gets killed or injured. I was trained, obviously, as a traffic officer. If you do get somebody close up behind you, the best way is just to increase the distance between yourself and the vehicle in front, giving you ample time to react if he does. The guy behind you, it's up to him.
And what would your advice be to anyone listening to this programme today who doesn't take speeding particularly seriously and they may describe themselves as a casual speeder? What would you say to them today?
There's no such thing as a casual speeder, isn't there? Let's face it. We're all responsible for everybody else's safety. And as I've already said, just don't be the one that triggers that chain of events, because it's awful for everybody involved. It really is.
John Scrooby, former traffic police officer, now media spokesman with the organisation SCARD. A reminder that...